Welcome into the DNR podcast. This is SC Wild, the podcast. I'm Jared Rogers Martin, here with Glenn Gardner of the DNR. Glenn, you were out at all kinds of Robin Hood activities this weekend, weren't you?
I believe I was. There was a lot of arrows flying this week.
You just gotta keep to it. Don't get upset. Say you go in a competition and you have the lowest score. Just don't get upset. It's just for fun. Just don't get mad at it or get upset. Consistently do it and just make it fun. Like, shoot, don't shoot the same target every day. Shoot at a deer or a bear or a bullseye target.
So who was that? Who are we talking to right there? Shooting bears, tigers, and lions, oh my?
That is Will Britton, who goes to Thomas Sumter Academy down in Sumter County. And he is talking about the tournament where I talked to him at the tournament for the National Archery in the Schools competition that that happened down there recently. And he's just talking about how to keep archery interesting for him.
Now, the National Archery in Schools program sounds like this is like kind of an all ages event. Was everyone around his age, 10 years old?
Absolutely not. It was actually a 3-day event. Interestingly enough, the high school event, but because Will had shot so well on his level in the, I guess he's in a middle school or somewhere about in there, he was able to actually move up to the varsity team. And I don't want to embarrass him and say he just looked precious out there, but he was so tiny compared to most of the people around him out there on the high school lineup.
Yeah, so what was the height difference looking like? Was he just about their waist level and then everyone else was just towering over this young Wilson?
The guy that Will was shooting next to had a good 2 feet on him. So I'm going to age myself a little bit right here when I say they look like Mutt and Jeff, but they did look like Mutt and Jeff out there.
Yeah, well, and there was another person you talked to, Kyle Decker, out there. Did they talk about any differences in their shooting strategies?
They did a little bit, and it was interesting how they had to think differently, but all in all, it was pretty much the same.
You just got to know where to aim. For everybody, it's going to be different, because since I'm so much taller than Wilson, I aim so much lower on the target because my arrow starts higher. And you just have to practice on every target so you know which spot to aim at for everything you're shooting.
I have to aim. Always, I put my hand up against the target to make sure where I'm aiming. I have to aim one hand above the bullseye at the far ranges. And then once you do that, when you hunt a lot, you know exactly where to aim with the bow grip, right up the front leg. You shoot right there. That's what I was doing today.
You know, I guess when you're only standing 4.5 feet tall at 10 years old, you got to do it differently than a man-sized bow hunter.
Kyle was 6'4".
6'4".
6'4". He just, he towered over about pretty much everybody out there. So he really had to know what he needed to do because he was, even at all the distances, he was shooting downhill.
Now, did you get a feel that everyone there was experienced bow hunters, or were these people that just picked up this program?
You get the impression that a lot of the people involved in this wanted a school activity but didn't necessarily want to compete as a team or just, quite frankly, didn't want to compete and get hit in whatever they were competing in. So a lot of the kids out there were that I talked to and that I've talked to over the years just thought it was really interesting. And it takes a certain discipline to be able to do that as well. The ones that can really concentrate and practice are really good at it.
Yeah. And did you talk to Will and Kyle about where they got into hunting and where they started?
Yeah, I talked to both of them about it. And Will actually learned his archery skills from his dad with a hunting background.
My dad, he went to Africa hunting with bows and all kind of stuff. Just hunting a lot, and then he gave me my first bow for Christmas 1 year, and it just started off from there, just shooting.
Now, I think he goes on to say that he's never been hunting before, but he wants to use that bow for Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
So that's a pretty exciting thing. You win a tournament, you're 10 years old, shooting with high schoolers, and then you get this Christmas gift that you're just waiting to use, but sadly, it's not deer season yet.
And so. Not quite, no. He seemed like a young, law-abiding citizen, so he's going to wait for deer season to use that Christmas bow.
And what about Kyle? Did he have a background in hunting before?
He actually was approached by the school captain to see if he was interested, and fortunately he was, and it's paying off for him now.
Our coach, Mac McLeod, he had seen the DNR, how we're trying to start it. He asked a few kids if they wanted to do it, and I said it'd be fun. And so that's, we worked together a little bit to make sure we got it started and had the students to participate.
And I mean, it sounds fun to do these competitions just to shoot at different targets. I think they have bullseyes, but then what was saying, they were shooting bears? Were these live bears or stuffed bears?
No. They have a 3D component as part of the tournament now. And so after they would finish up with the actual bullseye targets, they would move into another building. And it had 3D animals that they had a segment marked on each of those foam animals, and they were scored based on how well they clustered their arrows in those targets.
And another fun part to the tournament that I'm sure Kyle was pretty excited as, he's a senior in high school, is that the DNR gave away $25,000 in college scholarships.
They did.
So who did you, do you have a list of the winners and how much they got for their scholarships?
I do indeed. Thank you for asking, Jared. No, for the girls, in third place, Ashlyn Fulmer won a $1,500 scholarship. In second place, Gracie Dowling won $2,000. And in first place, Tabitha Way won $3,000. On the boys' side, in third place, Kyle Decker, who we just heard from, won a $1,500 scholarship. Trey Baumrind won $2,000 for second place. And in first place was Jonathan Stewart, who won a $3,000 scholarship.
Now, as someone who's currently paying back student loans, that still paying back student loans many years later,
yeah,
I would have loved an archery competition too.
That's really just gravy for these kids. You know, a lot of them know that they are not going to come out of there with scholarship money. They know that going in because their scores aren't there. They just love the competition, and they go in there like a lot of us do who will never be world-class athletes at anything, just trying to do better than the last time we did whatever it is we do.
This was the last competition for Kyle. Did he say what he wanted to do going forward?
He actually got a scholarship, an archery scholarship, and he's the first student that we've had in the South Carolina archery competition, archery in the schools competition, to win a college scholarship. So he's very much looking forward to that.
I'll be majoring in diversified agriculture. So I'll hopefully be able to stay outside most of the time where I'm happier.
And Wilson, I'm guessing you're just worried about passing English, right?
Yes, sir. I would like to be a lawyer when I get older, if I keep consistent studying and all this, get my grades good. Yes, sir. Just thinking about it, my whole family has just been working hard all their life and had not that much stuff to look forward to, so I can help them out then.
That kid Wilson,
he was really amazing. I have carried on a lot of conversation with a lot of young kids his age over my life. And he was as well-spoken and thoughtful as any that I've ever run across. So he will probably be a lawyer one day.
And his mom has got to be very, very proud. All the yes sirs to your questions.
Oh, yeah. Both of these kids. And a lot of it, again, comes from the training that they get in this discipline. It just helps them focus, and they turn out to be great kids. That's just the way it is.
Well, shooting isn't done in the state. There's still a couple more events coming up, one of which we've got Captain Billy Downer in here to talk about, and that's the Southeastern Youth Clay Target Combine. That'll be bringing youths from all over the Southeast, Georgia, Mississippi, South Carolina, to go shoot clay targets and just see where they match up with the kids from other states, because, you know, it's fun to go against your competition in South Carolina, but the bragging rights get exceptionally bigger when we can talk we're the best shooters in the Southeast.
Well, you know, you've got a lot of kids that have grown up with this in the South. So, yeah, it gives us a good chance to get out there and see where we are.
Well, and that's going a little bit past you and I's area of expertise. So let's
far, far beyond.
Captain Billy Downer, tell us about this tournament and how excited you are for this.
Well, it's a really neat idea. Georgia actually came to us and said, why don't we shoot together and put our kids against your kids? You know, anytime you do anything, competition enters. So we talked together and put this idea together. Hey, why don't we put our shooting, our scholastic clay target sports program against yours? They've got a very fast-growing, just like ours, not quite as large as ours, but they've got a lot of folks shooting skeet and trap in some sporting clays. You know, we are growing by leaps and bounds in sporting clays in South Carolina, thanks to a lot of people working hard at that, coaches and other private foundations, 4-H, and DNR, of course, the what we've put into it, but skeet and trap as well. Mississippi, growing program there. So we've got this tri-state event coming up May 6th, Saturday, May 6th at the Palmetto in Edgefield, the Palmetto Shooting Complex. That's the two sporting clay course, skeet and five skeet and trap overlay fields that DNR built together with the National Wild Turkey Federation. We're excited about the facility. We've made that kind of our home base for doing all of our youth shooting sports programs. So this event is just school teams. We're excited. The top 20 school teams, some mostly varsity, some JV teams from South Carolina will be competing against the top shooters in Georgia and Mississippi for a coveted tri-state crown.
So there is going to be a crown.
There will be a trophy. We're going to have a bragging rights trophy to pass around between the three states, and I sure hope that South Carolina brings home the first annual. But it will be at the Palmetto Shooting Complex on Saturday, May 6th. Be an all-day event because we're shooting skeet, trap, and sporting clays, all three disciplines, 100 target total. Each shooter will shoot 25 skeet, 25 trap, and 50 sporting clays. And I look forward to our team bringing that trophy home, we hope. But if not, I know we're going to have a lot of fun anyway.
And how much ammunition are you buying for this, for three states?
Well, we've got the top shooters from each state. So total, we've invited 150 shooters from all three states. So basically 60 shooters from 20 squads. So 60 shooters from South Carolina, 20 squads from Georgia, and then 10 squads from Mississippi. Looking at it right there, you know, we're 150 shooters. We're providing ammo for our South Carolina shooters. Each state will be responsible for their state. They want to provide the ammo or not. But for our shooters, we'll provide four boxes of ammo. So for this event, not quite as grandiose as our other event, but still, you're talking about 60 shooters, 240 boxes of shells.
And so this is a go South Carolina.
240 boxes. Yeah, 240 boxes. Let's do the quick math on that. 240 boxes times 25 shells per box. You're looking at over 6,000 shells in this event for 100 targets. So
a bang for your buck there.
Great bang for your buck. No right. Pun intended.
Oh, pun. Very much intended.
There you go.
All right. Well, thank you, Captain Downer. We'll see you May 6th.
Thanks.
We want to jump back over to Glenn. Glenn, you've got what's up in South Carolina with the DNR. So tell us some of the big events that the DNR is holding.
One thing that we want everybody to do, the new issue, the spring 2017 issue of Guy Harvey Magazine, is a special edition focusing specifically on fishing in South Carolina. And we had the folks from Guy Harvey Magazine come down and tool around the state and take a lot of photos and write a lot of articles, and it's really good. So we do want to encourage everybody to pick up that 2017 spring issue of Guy Harvey Magazine. Read all about fishing in South Carolina. I'd bragging rights. I do have a photo in there myself that I took on the inside of the back page.
Whoa. This is radio here. You're going to be advertising a photo, losing the animosity of the radio.
I am multimedia, man. I'm all over the place. I know our aquatic education coordinator, Sarah, and I went trout fishing, and I was able to get a photo in there. So that was a lot of fun. But if you're interested in fishing in South Carolina, make sure you pick that up. Another thing that happened just recently, the Twin Pond Shooting Range in the Francis Marion National Forest down in Charleston County has reopened. There was a grand reopening of that facility down there. I was able to travel down there and hang out with our law enforcement folks, including Billy Downer, Captain Downer. And that is a need that's been sought in that area for quite a while because it was closed for a good time. And it is now open. As our director, Alvin Taylor, said, it's the DNR's goal to provide a safe and accessible place for people in the region to be able to come and shoot. So we encourage you to take advantage of the Twin Ponds Rifle Range. Actually, I've got one more finally. I do want to bring this up. This was on the bottom of the pile, but it's certainly not the least of it all. There is a film that was produced about Fort Frederick, which Meg and Sean
our archaeologist talked about on a previous podcast, but a film was produced called The Inevitable Evolution of Fort Frederick. And we want you to tune in to that on the DNR YouTube page.
But you'd have to bring your own popcorn. No popcorn on the YouTube page.
No popcorn. You are on your own. So you can have whatever food and beverage you choose for that.
And that's a really interesting project. Meg and Sean were already on the podcast with us talking about Fort Frederick and all of the inconsistencies. They said it was one of the most, or the least safe feeling forts for people to be on.
And Meg got into that, and it really is. Now, it has filled in some over the years, but you just aren't comfortable standing in a fort when you can see over the wall. So I can understand the concern. And of course, it's been several hundred years, so the walls have disintegrated some, but I still wouldn't have felt safe when it was new and it was really small.
Well, it is safe to say that we're running out of time for this podcast. So that Fort Frederick may not have felt safe, but we're safely getting out of here. So that's all we've got for this week. Thanks, Glenn, and thanks, Captain Downer. We'll see you next week.
Later.